Hello, hello, hello. It's the chocolate writer here, Sharon, the chocolate girl, back for another episode. And man, do I have a good one for you. My last episode, I talked about that case with Mel Tucker, former football coach of Michigan State Spartans, my alma mater, and how upset I was with him and how things were going down. But some new information has come out since then. It was a lot. I've had to take some time out since it came out to really get into it, see what the ins and outs were, and now I'm ready to talk about it. So join me as we take a little trip this afternoon. Let's go. So, Michigan State University, my alma mater, I love more than anything, as far as universities are concerned, they came through with their promise to fire Coach Mel Tucker. Tuck coming, you know, hashtag Tuck coming. The $92 million man, that Mel Tucker. They fired him because they say that he violated their clause on behavior. If he does anything that causes embarrassment or brings negative press to Michigan State, that he could actually be fired for cause for that, according to the contract. And so they fired him because after their little so-called independent investigation that they conducted in the little hearing, they determined that, oh, well, yeah, he did indeed commit sexual harassment towards Brenda Tracy, so he has to be fired. Well, I knew that was coming. In my last episode where I discussed this, I was very upset. I talked about how stupid he could have been to actually have anything other than a professional relationship with a woman he practically contracted out to come speak to the football team, the men on that team, young men, about women and how to deal with women so as to not sexually assault or harass them. Share her story of what supposedly happened to her and how they should go handle themselves to avoid things happening like that to them. If you don't know her story, many years ago, she accused four young, black, New Mexico State University athletes of gang raping her. I believe it was New Mexico State. It might have been another college, but I believe that's the name of the college. But anyway, regardless of the name of the college, she accused two recruits and two members of the football team at this particular university of gang raping her. There was alcohol involved. A couple of the players admitted that there was alcohol involved, but they also said it was consensual. But of course, she goes to the hospital, gets this rape kit done. Of course, they say they find evidence of sexual assault. Well, if you just had sex with four horny young men, you would probably show some physical signs of it getting a little rough. That's what I would say. But, you know, hey, I'm not here to question whether or not what she says happened to her all those years ago happened. She says it did. But she never went through, even though these guys were charged, humiliated in the public, lost all scholarships and all that stuff. The prosecutor was going to prosecute, but then suddenly Brenda Tracy decided she was not going to be cooperative. And so the prosecutors dropped all the charges. The four of them have since gone on and done various things. Two of them not in good ways, and two of them are pretty good, solid citizens. But regardless, it was never proven that it actually happened to her the way that she said it. But since then, she has used that experience as the cornerstone of her nonprofit, where she goes out and speaks to college-age men all over the country. People contract her out to come and speak, talk about her experience, and give them tips on how to avoid situations like that. Keep yourself from, you know, assaulting women. Cherish women, honor women, respect women. That type of language is what I'm imagining. I've never seen footage of her speaking, but that's what I'm imagining. So, this is who we're dealing with. Brenda Tracy is her name. And again, she was contracted to do the same thing at Michigan State at the bequest of a mutual friend who still, I have been unable to find out the name of the mutual friend who went to Mel Tucker telling him he needs to hire her to come and make these speeches. This woman's all the way out on the West Coast. He's in East Lansing, Michigan. You mean there was nobody in Detroit or East Lansing or Lansing, Grand Rapids, Flint, somewhere in that state that specializes in this that could have come to speak? No, this so-called unnamed friend, mutual friend that knew both of them, told him that he needs to get her out of all people. Why? I've been asking that question since I first saw that she said a mutual friend introduced them. So anyway, I digress. Let's continue. So after this firing has taken place and everything, Mel Tucker's attorneys, before all of this went down, was able to get text messages that were not a part of the original investigation. Whose text messages are these? I'm going to tell you who. It was a woman, I cannot recall her name, but it was a woman who served as Brenda Tracy's assistant and one of her best friends. She confided in her. They talked all the time. Brenda previously had released some text messages between her and this woman before. And she swore that those were all the text messages, right? No. What the attorneys ended up doing, they're very smart. Mel Tucker's attorney said, okay, so she handed over all the text messages between her and the assistant, huh? Okay. Well, let's see. So what did they do? They subpoenaed the text messages on the other side. They subpoenaed and received the assistant's text messages. This is the same assistant that, as I talked about before, ended up dying from injuries sustained in a car accident, a tragic car accident. But there is a witness who I believe is one of their family members that came forward and told Mel Tucker's attorneys that while this assistant was lying in the hospital fighting for her life, Brenda Tracy kept asking them for access to the assistant's cell phone and computer. What an odd request for you to be making about your one of your best friends as they're dying from car accidents. Can I have access to her cell phone and computer? And it was asked multiple times. That to me speaks of her trying to get a hold of that because there's something in there she didn't want to be seen. Could it be these text messages that have come out now? Probably so. Why? Well, let's get into what these text messages said. First of all, shout out to Ticket TV and Outkick. The guy Clay Travis of Outkick and Ticket TV. You know, Ticket, the sports guy. Love Ticket. They're the only two people I saw really breaking this and really speaking loudly about what's going on in this situation. So some of the information I'm providing, I did get from listening to them. And then I went and actually read the letter sent by the attorney. I talked to people in our Michigan State University alumni social media groups that I'm in. And we had discussions and examined the letter together. So yeah, it's information that's not being put out. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But anyway, these text messages from her assistant was obtained by Tucker's attorney. And it shows that Brenda went through great lengths to keep these text messages from being seen. So, as I mentioned, she was trying to get access to the phone and computer. But let's talk about how all this started. This all started from a 36-minute phone conversation late at night in which Mel Tucker admittedly had. They keep calling it phone sex. Phone sex to me is not just jacking off while you're on the phone with somebody. Phone sex is a whole vibe. It's a whole, oh, darling, you this, and having, you know, sexual talk and all of that is involved. And can you imagine that I'm doing so and so and all of that? Neither one of them have said that that's what was going on. All it was, he jacked off while he was talking to her on the phone. Wow. That's not phone sex to me. But anyway, I'm going to say phone sex because that's how they keep referring to it in this podcast. So I'm going to call it that. So 2 months after she had this conversation with him, though, she was so distraught. You know what she did on Father's Day? She texted him, Happy Father's Day. But remember, she felt uncomfortable and was distraught after this phone sex incident, right? So much so she text him Happy Father's Day. Now, she's way across on the other side of the country, but she just had to text him. He had to be on her mind if she decided to text him Happy Father's Day. Text messages revealed this. Shortly after that, Mel Tucker decided not to invite her back to speak to MSU for another visit. And all of a sudden, Brenda decides it was not consensual. She tells MSU what happened and says that Mel needs to be punished. My beloved university falls for the okie-doke, in my opinion, at this point, and fires him. Well, part of that is their own fault because they didn't think to get these text messages from the assistant who has subsequently passed away. Why didn't they? If you're going to do an investigation and $92 million is at stake, plus a lawsuit is at stake, why wouldn't you be thorough in your investigation to really determine, did this man do this or not? Is this for cause or not? It just seemed like to me they skimmed the surface and they didn't dig deep. They just relied on what Brenda said. That's what it seems like to me. But anyway, she decided she's going to report this. Well, the text messages show that Brenda talked about having only five, her motives in this whole thing is money. She talked about only having $5 in her bank account. This was like a couple of weeks right before she decided to file. She also talked about how she's going to get Mel Tucker to finance her and her assistant's documentary that they were working on. Brenda's tax debt as well. She owed the IRS a lot of money for back taxes. She was going to have him pay for that. And she was going to have him pay for her pending plastic surgery. So she's in these text messages bragging to her assistant friend how she's going to have Mel Tucker, you know, the $92 million man, pay for all this stuff. Money. It's all about the money. She made a statement. Can you imagine having $79,000 in your account up? She's talking about this money. She's in his pockets the entire time. Also, text messages reveal that she said that she never had personal relationships with her clients. But the texts show otherwise. They reveal that she was having relations with another married basketball coach. It came out that it's Damon Stoudemire. But I just noticed that when Clay Travis of OutKick was talking about it, he didn't say him by name. I guess he doesn't want to add to the algorithm of his name floating out on airwaves. But that's what it alleges in the letter from Mel Tucker's attorney. It's clear in the text message that she was having relations with him as well. So that's another lie. Messages made it clear that she went after him for his money. She said how she's going to ask him to finance that documentary and how she's going to have him do that, pay for her plastic surgery. Why is that key? She says clearly in the text messages that she wants to get this plastic surgery so that she can make money. So she's going to get this plastic surgery done on her body so she can make money from it using her body. That's in the text messages. It gets even deeper. The text messages show that she was filing suit just to get the money. She says flat out, money is my only recourse to make him feel he's being punished. See, she wants to blame it on the punishment, the so-called punishment from this so-called situation. She can't just extort him for money using nothing. She has to have something. So it's the pending so-called case and could be settlement that she can hang over him to make him feel punished to give her this money. It's all in the text messages with her assistant. She calls herself the victim and says, imagine this victim is taking on a $95 million coach. She claims she makes a good victim several times in the text messages. She speaks about herself in the third person, and she calls herself a great victim. What is that? You're a great victim? In other words, she feels like she's believable and she could win this case. She also mentions how having these taxes, this tax bill doesn't help her, but her ability to cry on demand and be convincing with her crying does help her. She mentions that. Disgusting. She says that, while she's talking about her being the victim, she says, this story really shouldn't have been public. It should have been kept private. But then at the same time, in those same text messages, they show how she is the one texting USA Today and ESPN writers, asking them to tell her story. Asking them to. And then when they started doing the investigation and so forth, further text messages reveal she's trying to control the narrative and the words they use and how they tell the story, because she wants it told in a way that she wants it told to convince them that he did something wrong so that she can get paid. Unbelievable. So what this sums up to me is this is proof that this woman is a liar. She is a liar. She is an extortionist, a manipulator, and devious. Her best friend, her confidant, her assistant is in the hospital fighting for her life, and she's asking her family, can I have access to the cell phone and the computer? There's nothing you can say to me to explain that away and make that legit and make that to be clean and not something suspicious about her credibility. Nope, can't explain that one away from me. She lied to Mel Tucker. She lied on Mel Tucker. She lied to the investigators, to the university, to ESPN and USA Today. She's just a liar. And these text messages show it. Mel Tucker's attorney laid it out in complete detail. It's very compelling. You really need to look at it. If you don't know where to get it, OutKick, Clay says he has it on his OutKick page. So go to OutKick on Twitter and you can read it there. Yes, I'm still calling it Twitter. She did all of this just to get money from him. She made it up. She's a liar. And that's proven it. So this leads me to this firing. Why didn't MSU, as I mentioned before, dig deeper and get this information before? It was clear something didn't add up from her story from the beginning. You couldn't quite put your finger on it, but it just did not add up from the beginning. One thing that I didn't mention is how it comes out in evidence. Evidence came out of how he sent her money on her he put money on her Venmo account to send her some money. Well, how can he send her something on the Venmo without her Venmo information? You got to have know what her Venmo ID or number or something is in order for you to put it on their Venmo. But he did it. Is it Venmo or I think it's Venmo. It's either Venmo or Zelle. It's one of the two. He had to know. How did he know? She had to give the information to him. That doesn't sound like to me somebody who was upset. Somebody who was feeling uncomfortable. She said she had started feeling uncomfortable before the phone sex conversation. Really? Okay. But you accepted that money, didn't you? I guess so, with $5 in your bank account. It's clear to me now, after this evidence has come out, I have to retract my initial statement. I said initially that Mel Tucker should be fired because he was stupid enough to get involved with a woman he had contracted with the university. And you cannot carry on like that. But here's the issue. He didn't carry on. There was no carrying on. There was nothing that he could hold over her that would affect her livelihood or anything. Hey, if you don't do this for me, then I'm going to ruin you. There's no evidence of any of that. He never tried to hurt her or do any of that. He just decided, you know what? I need to just separate myself from this woman. I don't trust her anymore. It's not feeling right. So we just gonna move on. He never guaranteed that he was gonna have her speak so many times. It's different if you promise, okay, I'm gonna have you come for 5 sessions. We're gonna pay you now for 5 sessions, and you gotta come back all 5. And she only got in 2, and then he decided not to invite her back. That's a whole different story. That's not what happened here. That's not what happened here. So, yeah, there was never any evidence that or any claim. She never said that he sexually assaulted her. People keep saying sexual assault. That's the wrong terminology. Stop saying that. It's sexual harassment that this case is about, not assault. So I just wanted to point that out. Secondly, sexual harassment doesn't mean that you say sexual things to the person. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that. You can have a consensual relationship with somebody. But if they're a subordinate and they report to you, that can easily be misconstrued as sexual harassment because you're responsible for their career. That's what that looks like. And that's where I was hanging on, what I was hanging on to when I said in my prior podcast episode that, yeah, you stupid enough to do that, you deserve to get fired. I don't believe her. I don't trust her. But you acknowledge that y'all were talking and they, you know, having some flirtations and conversations outside of work. And you should not have done that. And that can be misconstrued. I don't feel that way anymore. Mm-mm. This was not sexual harassment at all. What this was is extortion on her part. That's what it is. And let me tell you something, how I feel about this situation, especially for our men. I know men are not the only ones who are victims of this. There are women who are as well. So that's my disclaimer. But I'm a mother of a son. So I'm going to say this. These women out here who are out here with these false allegations, running these men, these women are devoid of any common decency. They should be prosecuted. When the information comes out later that the woman lied, she should be made to serve some time for that reason, period. I always say that about that woman who got Emmett Till killed. I don't care if she was 80-something years old and sickly. Her behind should have been in a jail cell because she acknowledged that she lied. And I feel like, hey, you do that, you lie, you drum up stories. I remember the two Ohio State football players, same situation. Chick had a little fun with him, flipped the script, claimed rape, lied. They got kicked off the football team, lost their scholarships, was charged, put in jail, had a trial, convicted, sentenced, went to prison. Finally, she grows a conscience and says, I lied. Nothing happened to her. Not that I've been able to find. I have to look in that again. Nothing happened to her. These two young men's football careers were taken away from them. There's no telling how well they could have played. They were not some bench warmers on this team. They, as I said, they lost their scholarships. That means they weren't bench warmers. Nothing happened to her. This right here, just from these text messages alone, that is enough in civil court, at least, for a preponderance of the evidence to prove that this woman is guilty of extortion. Her behind should be locked up if this is proven, if this is the case. I'm not here slandering her. Hey, if you want her services, use it. But if you're a male, you make sure you have somebody else around you, on the phone with you, in your presence with you, if you got to deal with her, because you don't want any allegations brought against you. So like I said, business is business. I'm not trying to ruin anybody's business. I said, if this is proven to be true, that's what should happen to her. Mel Tucker, I believe, has got a case. I believe this man about to get paid. I really do. Ticket TV said I was sued for $400 million. You know what? You might as well ask. You never know what you might get. Have you seen The Burial on Amazon Prime starring Jamie Foxx and Tommy Lee Jones? Go check that movie out. Ask for what you want. You just might get it and then some. Mel Tucker has a case. Mel Tucker has a case. I'm so upset about this, and I'm very upset that no one's talking about it. That's the last thing I'm going to talk about in this situation, the fact that major news is not talking about it. Why isn't this on Fox, CNN, MSNBC, ESPN, CBS Sports, The Athletic, Sports Illustrated, Huffington Post, BBC? Why am I not seeing it? NPR? This is big news. This man was one of the highest paid coaches in Division I football. Being brought down by this chick with these allegations and out the door at a loss of like 92. She said 95, but okay, I'm going to stick with $92 million. Why isn't it being talked about? Now, this is where I have to take exception with Clay Travis at OutKick. You know, he says this is due to the woke left media, sports media outlets that's not talking about it. This doesn't have anything to do with being a Democrat, liberal, left-leaning, woke person. Clay, I have to take exception with that use of the language. Words are important in communications. We know this. And a person who's worked in communicating my whole adult life, word usage can make or break a situation. And I have to take exception, sir, with what you're saying. As a registered Democrat myself, who's been a liberal my whole life, I'm more I'm more conservative about some things than people know. But I'm going to vote more towards the left. Why? Because I believe that we should all help each other. I don't believe there's no freaking bootstrap for my community. We didn't never have bootstraps to pull ourselves up by. So I'm sorry, I can't rock with y'all over there on the right. Especially with this, you know, making up stuff about these elections. This is really just disgusting to me and sickening what I see happening to our democracy. But that's another story for another day. Regarding this right here, this is bad. No one is talking about it. Why isn't this being run on ESPN? Why aren't they talking about it? Now, Clay said, you know, just, you know, liberal. Well, Fox Sports isn't talking about it either. Fox News isn't talking about it. The Federalist or something like that. There's this other magazine. I can't think of what it's called, but it's a very conservative magazine. They're not talking about it. No one's talking about it. We're talking about it in Michigan. Well, I shouldn't say we. I don't live there. But we're talking about it because that's all our alma mater. People in the Big Ten are talking about it. We're talking about it on social media. People are making podcasts about it. This should be national news, and it should be revisited and talked about. I don't understand it at all. It's not fair. Evidence has come out that this man was telling the truth, and it's not being talked about. That is not fair. Something needs to be done about it. Something. How do you feel about it now that you hear all this new information? I really strongly encourage you to go read the entire letters put forth by Mel Tucker's attorney. It's not like they're fabricating it. These are text messages that was given to them. It's all in the text messages. She says it with her own mouth and her friend too about this conspiracy. So no, I don't believe that any sexual harassment happened at all. Mel Tucker should either be given money or his job back. One of the two. Or money and his job back. Of course, that's probably not going to ever happen. But that's what should happen in my view. And then since if it's proven that she's been lying, because that's what these text messages show, she should be prosecuted as well. Put in jail. It shouldn't be no probation, 5 years probation. Nuh-uh. You just ruined this man's whole professional career with these lies. If that's what we find out happened, that's what should happen to her. She needs to be locked up for a substantial period of time. That's how I feel about it. Thinking about my son. Some broad, just, if he don't show her any attention, she can just falsely accuse him and he can get locked up just like that. Happens to men every day. I'm not going to say just black men. It happens to men. A lot. Men lie. Women lie. Everybody lies. We can't just go around here believe women. What do you mean believe women? I know. I can name you 5 women right now that lie every day all the time about everything. I know these people. So no, we don't believe all women. We can't do that. Men are people too. And you know what? Just like there are some great women out there, there are some great men out here. Just keep that in mind. And Mel Tucker, if you're listening, just keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And watch your back, man. Watch your back. I knew you knew that the spotlight was on you when you got that contract. But I bet you didn't realize it was going to be like this. So I feel for you, brother. I'm praying for you. I'm hoping that all this truth gets out. And I'm hoping very soon that something is put out in major media, mainstream media about this. And more noise is made about it. That's my hope. All right. So I just want to thank y'all for rocking with me today. Another great episode of Did You Hear What Chocolate Said? I hate that I have to talk about this issue, but it warrants talking about. You can go find me on here on Spotify or Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, everywhere that you get your podcast. You can look for Did You Hear What Chocolate Said and catch one of my episodes. This is season 3, episode 10. So you've got lots of episodes that you can go back and listen to, especially the one right before this one where I gave my initial opinion about this Mel Tucker situation. So anyway, let me know. I'm going to post this on my Chocolate Writer page. Let me know in the comments after you listen to it what you think about what I just said. And the next time you talk to your friend, just ask them, hey, did you hear what Chocolate said? And send them the link, because I would love to get their opinion too. So that's all from me. See you next time. And as always, I wish you love, peace, and chocolate.